Welcome to Alive and Active Life, broadcasting encouragement to live your daily life with God's help and inspiration to reach for more of God by faith. Join Brenda Wolf for today's practical insights.
Well, it's time. The last two scripture dissections, God's timing and God's humor, we left something completely unresolved, the famine. And really, that's an important development. We built up to it, showing how people suffered intolerably for 3 years. Now Elijah introduces he's back, and then introduces that it's God's timing to end the famine. So here is the amazing story with a couple of twists and some teaching points. So we're going to tear into it, the famine. First, I'd like to suggest that you take a look at the article, the episode, Tear Into It. That episode explains how and why we introduce scripture dissection exercises every few weeks in our episode rotation. To tear into famine, let's continue the story from 1 Kings chapter 18. For your information, part 1, which was God's timing, and part 2, which was God's humor, both set the stage for today. So you might want to take a look at those episodes as well. Look up 1 Kings 18, verses 41 through 46 in your Bible for a full story. For this content's purposes, here is a bullet backstory of developments in my words. Here we go. Elijah tells Ahab, "You better get something to eat and drink quickly. Rain is in the air." This is year 3 of the famine. Next point, Ahab grabs lunch. Number 3. But instead of grabbing lunch, Elijah climbs Mount Carmel and goes to prayer. God still hasn't told him the details of how he will end the famine. Next point. After praying, Elijah tells his servant to look over the sea and report back. Then his servant says, "Nothing is there." Next point. Elijah tells his servant to do this 7 times, incidentally. Then the next point, the 7th time the servant reports, a cloud as small as a man's hand is rising from the sea, verse 44. The next point, with no further details, Elijah rises in faith and tells his servant to go and quickly tell Ahab to hitch his chariot and get to a safe place before the rain comes. Next point, the drama escalates immediately in verse 45. Here it is. Meanwhile, the sky grew black with clouds. The wind rose. A heavy rain started falling, and Ahab rode off to Jezreel. In other words, God's timing for the end of the famine is right now, ready or not. And then the next point. Amazingly, here's verse 46. The power of the Lord came on Elijah, and tucking his cloak into his belt, he ran ahead of Ahab all the way to Jezreel. Now let's dissect famine. With each scripture dissection, we engage 4 focuses. Number 1, what does it say? 2, what does it mean? 3, make it personal. And 4, make a commitment. So let's start with, what does it say? When Elijah tells his servant to tell Ahab to hitch his chariot, grab lunch, and ride hard for safety, what he's really saying is, ready or not, God is ending the famine right now. Keep in mind, Ahab tried to hunt down and kill Elijah for 3 years because Elijah had predicted the famine. And now he is obeying Elijah's every command. Elijah's servant was sent to check the skies 7 times. Incidentally, a very small cloud escalates into a lot of power. Elijah must have been in great physical condition. God's power came upon him, and without lunch, he outruns Ahab's horses and chariot to Jezreel. God's timing to end 3 years of famine is right now, and he gives his message through Elijah. Well, the second thing we'll discuss is, what does it mean? This passage strongly reinforces God has his own perfect timing to global events. In fact, he has incredible ability to superintend all history plus every individual life. Each person's free will does not impinge his perfect will. Though this world is broken, God is still in control. However, he is patient with mankind and honors the gift of free will he gave each person. God also has a front seat in affairs of nations, communities, and individuals, including you. He wants to give you the daily heads up that you need. Incidentally, when Elijah climbs Mount Carmel to pray, it's a deeply reverent prayer. He bends to the ground and puts his face between his knees. In other words, Elijah is showing respect and paying homage to God. This great prophet is great because he is also humble. Remember, Elijah still doesn't know exactly how or when God will answer his prayer. He just asks, worships, then waits. When God's answer comes, Elijah has already prepared to kick it into gear and to dovetail with God's timing. In other words, Elijah truly partnered with God. Since 7 is God's number, symbolizing perfection, God draws attention to something interesting. It's a kind of listen up to showcase his credibility to Elijah, who simply asks, worships, and then waits as his servant checks the skies 7 times. In conclusion, what does it mean? Takes these ideas to heart and makes them personal. Humility, asking, worshiping, waiting, and being prepared to jump in. Number 3, make it personal. So let's discuss how you can pull something out of this for your life. An effective way to live each day is with perspective that goes beyond what you can currently see or do. And perspective that matches God's requires faith. Why should your perspective match God's? Well, Scripture says in Isaiah 55, verse 9, just as the heavens are above the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Subsequently, the logical conclusion is, by thinking increasingly more like God, you think into the realm God already knows all about. It's faith thinking. Here are some helpful action steps to faith think more like God. Number 1, lean into him intentionally every day. In other words, choose him as your first, best, and most. Number 2, get into his word and get his word into you. 3, talk with God. Pray about everything. In other words, ask for help, for wisdom, and for guidance. Number 4, listen intently as God trains you in righteousness. Choose an alert and ready position to receive from him. Number 5, obey God to the detail in every issue. This means dying to self agendas and living for Jesus. Number 6, rest in God as you wait. Resting in God connects you strongly to his love and gracious heart. And then number 7, worship. Because his ways and thoughts are higher, he is worthy. So let's quickly review those action steps to faith think more like God. Lean into Him every day. Get into His Word and His Word into you. Pray about everything. Listen intently as God trains you. Obey Him to the detail. Rest in Him as you wait, and worship Him. By the way, a fascinating principle from Matthew 10, verse 39 says, "Whoever finds their life will lose it, and whoever loses their life for my sake will find it." So incidentally, this is both a guarantee from Jesus and a launch platform to live life to your fullest purpose in His design. You don't have to linger in famine. God wants to end your personal famine and bring you to a place of plenty in Jesus Christ. If you're in a personal famine of soul, let God end your famine and draw you close to Himself. What's your portion? Take up God's perspective about all things and live an alive and active life by faith thinking. Here are some additional Make It Personal tips from this section of Make It Personal. Here we go. Consider humility with me. God commands His children to humble themselves and trust Him to lift them up at the right time. That's from James 4:10. That is how Elijah lived. Some additional thoughts about worship. It's the oldest of God's commands. God knows He's the best thing for you. And when you agree with Him on that, you open a portal to His interventions, blessings, His goodness and power, and to His friendship. God dearly loves you. Elijah knew how to worship sincerely from his heart. What about preparing for God's timing? We mentioned that. The best way to prepare is to continually be faith thinking in everything you think, say, and do. Learn to think outside the box and prepare creative, insightful ways for action, even ahead of time. Then, when it's God's timing, get going. Dovetail with God's initiative. Elijah also did that. Like breathing, it's essential to pray during the course of your activities. This connects you with a dear friend who loves you. That's Jesus. It connects you with an all-wise counselor ready to guide you. And it connects you with the God who knows how to envelop your prepared, faith-thinking heart. Elijah did all of this continually, and maybe that's why God did miracles through him. As you wait on God's timing, are you patient and confident? Apparently, Elijah was quite good at this. Reflect over this section and ask yourself, how many of those tips am I actively doing each day? All right, the final thing we do each time we have a scripture dissection is to make a commitment. That's number 4. Make a commitment. And this is where the application thoughts and questions come into our content. Knowing something and doing something are quite different. What good is it to know about these things but not carry them out? James 1:22 says, "Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says." Subsequently, knowing you have a personal famine and doing something about it are also two very different things, to know something and to do something about it. It's in your best interests to include action in your pursuit for relationship with God. Go after Him. In fact, that proves your passion for the Lord is sincere. Action is an altar. So ask yourself, what areas of life are you in famine? Do you believe God wants to provide for you? If so, remember, action steps to dovetail with God's intervention initiatives. And here they are again. These are the action steps we talked about before. Number one, are you leaning into Jesus? Two, do you take in His Word into your heart daily? Three, are you sharing life with Him in prayer? Four, how are your listen to God skills? Five, do you obey immediately when God presses His direction into your heart and says, it's time now? Six, what about resting in Christ? Are you? Number seven, do you worship as you wait for God's timing? I want to close by emphasizing something that we mentioned earlier in this episode. Action is an altar. I invite you to follow us on your favorite social media. Do sign up on our email list to receive weekly articles and episodes. Plus, tune in to our weekly podcast using your preferred podcast app, or you can use the online player at the top of each article. Visit our website for resources to get into God's Word and live an alive and active life.
You've been listening to Brenda Wolf with Alive and Active Life. Visit our website at www.aliveandactivelife.org, your web-based home for resources, including books and ebooks, libraries of articles, podcasts, and more, as you navigate life's challenges and issues. Sign up on our email list and subscribe to our podcast to stay current with the tools you need to be the person God designed, living an alive and active life.